Get up out of bed. Get up. Get up with Tim and Jess. Hit CQ.
Good morning. It's Tim and Jess on Hit CQ. Just gone 2 minutes past 6 a.m. live, loud and local around central Queensland. Happy to be here on Tuesday. Still 3 hours a fantastic radio to come,
buddy. Yeah, Tim, after 8 o'clock, we're going to be chatting to Ross Noble. He's going to be coming to Gladstone July 25th. We want to chat to him about his show because he's feeling a bit sorry that he didn't make it around to us the first time.
From what we understand, the whole reason he's doing this tour is because he missed so much of Australia on his last tour. This is like, sorry, I'm coming. Sorry, on my way. So he's coming here late July. Very excited to chat to him after 8:30.
Yeah, we're also going to be putting someone on the standby list, sending them to the world-famous rooftop.
Yep, to see the Backstreet Boys.
I mean, what better world-famous rooftop is there? Like, how are they ever going to top this one?
I'm thinking of doing my own world-famous rooftop performance of me and the three songs that I know on instruments, which are Time of Your Life by Green Day, which is also Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes, and I kind of know Feel Good Inc. by the Gorillaz.
Who are you going to get to sing for you? Because you can't sing and play guitar at the same time.
I can't even speak and play guitar at the same time. I learnt that out the hard way at my first ever unofficial gig.
Unofficial gig. You grabbed your mate's guitar.
And was on a stage. I'd also had a lot of fuel to get me to that point. But, hey, if I can get there one day, my goal is to be able to talk and play guitar at the same time. Mark my words, it will get done.
We will be opening the courtroom of Tim and Jess a little bit later on. But before we get to any of that, Tim,
okay,
I want to talk about Nick Kyrgios.
He's my favourite.
He keeps providing just little gems. And I feel like, look, Wimbledon went pleased with his actions yesterday.
No.
But I got a good giggle.
Wait, is Wimbledon on?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's where he was.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know if Wimbledon. I think it's next month, buddy.
Where
is he just in England and you think it's Wimbledon?
I thought it was Wimbledon. Is it not? Let me do some research.
He's not wearing white. It's not Wimbledon.
I was focused on the video.
Yes. We'll talk about the other part of this up next. It's Tim and Jess on Hit CQ.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
Tim, Nick Kyrgios, look, we're not always proud of him, but he always provides good entertainment.
I am Nick Kyrgios's number one fan because tennis, to me, is the most boring sport.
He makes
me want to watch it because it's like, what's he going to do? And he has proven me right yet again.
It's the Happy Gilmore effect. You never know what he's going to do. He's making the boring sport good again.
That's a bit of a stab to Happy Gilmore.
What do you mean?
That's unfair. Nick Kyrgios is way worse.
You reckon?
Oh, mate, after what he did at Queen's Club.
Well, this is true. I found out just during that song, Wimbledon hasn't started yet.
No.
I assumed that the tennis that was happening was Wimbledon.
Because all tennis is Wimbledon.
Yes, obviously. If it's in England, it's Wimbledon.
No,
it's the Queen's Club matches.
Yes.
And look, Kyrgios lost.
Yes.
Big surprise.
Shock.
He's always said that he does it for the money. And look,
No, that's Bernard Tomic that does it for the money. Nick Kyrgios does it for the power.
Sure. So they start off kick off their coverage of the Queen's Club matches.
Yeah.
And they scan over to Nick Kyrgios on his bench.
Yeah, just a warm-up shot, sitting down, just getting ready.
As you do. And all of a sudden, while they're on him, he does something that I could only assume a year 9 student would do. Like a year 9 male.
Yeah.
Like it's very.
Yeah.
It just screamed year 9 PE to me,
yep.
Which says a lot about my school. But he grabs his drink bottle and then proceeds.
Places it in an area that could be familiar with the downstairs male region.
And then, you know, some inappropriate hand gestures.
Has a bit of a shake.
And all of a sudden, water squirts out the top of the bottle. And you can imagine how this looks on TV, especially
at the Queen's Club.
The prim and proper announcers going, oh, well, that's good coverage that we've got there of Nick Kyrgios before his
clearly
game.
Clearly watering the grass before the tennis plays on.
Turns out he's been fined $23,500.
You see, the thing is,
for that one little act with his water bottle,
that's chump change. That's chump change for a guy like Nick Kyrgios.
Considering he won over $100,000 for not even winning the game,
no,
they're just taking that $23,000 out of his winnings.
Yes, so he's won still $140,000 just for losing.
He posted on Twitter and was just like, "Yeah, I'll see you guys at Wimbledon."
Bang bang. Well, not hand bang bang. Finger guns. Not handguns.
It's a good thing this is an audio medium.
Oh, you know, we could turn this into a tally show. We'd go off air quickly, but could happen. I'd get Nick Kyrgios on as a first guest.
No one's putting our mugs on TV.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Jess, new dating trend going around at the moment that everyone needs to be wary of because I feel like people are doing it. And I think you might have done it.
Okay.
It's called Gatsbying.
Right.
And I don't know why. I feel like the person that's come up with this and coined this has missed an opportunity to name a trend after themselves.
Okay.
So essentially, it's after an Australian model, Matilda Dodds. Sure. That's a human being.
Matildering doesn't have the same ring to it.
Dodding is a great term, though. Essentially, it is you post a video, picture, or selfie somewhere on social media, mm-hmm. and it's even though it's published and shared to everyone, it's really targeted at one person.
Oh, mate, every single girl has done this.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, it's called Gatsbying.
I only did this a couple of weeks ago. Not me, myself. I was doing it for a friend because she was like, what? I haven't got anyone to impress at the moment. My mate is like sort of seeing this guy.
Sure.
And she knew that he knew she was going to be out.
Okay.
And so she was like, we have to take a really hot photo and then we post it on my Snapchat and my Instagram and we'll wait until he sees. And then if he sees that I'm out and I'm having a good time and I'm looking banging, then he's going to like want to come meet me out.
Here's a thought. How about you enjoy yourself when you go out?
Mate.
This is just coming from me. Little old me, but here's like just instead of overthinking, like, because then imagine how much time you've committed to doing this and you go, oh, bugger me, it's midnight. Time to go to bed. Because that's my bedtime.
Mate, 9 o'clock's your bedtime.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I was being so.
It works though. It totally works. Gatsbying. That's what they call it. I didn't know it had a name for it.
Well, I don't know. Like, how was this Gatsby? Like, from The Great Gatsby, how does he do this?
Yeah, so he has that green light.
Oh, yeah.
And he shines it out in hopes that she'll see it.
This was the Twitter of the 1910s. Gatsby had his big green lighthouse, and you've just got a selfie
such
on Instagram.
A sweet story. I mean, it was unfortunate, but it was sweet.
Like most nights, if you are trying to Gatsby. So, dotting, I feel like, is a missed opportunity, and I'm going to figure out another term for dotting.
This is the Tim and Jess catch up on Hit.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland. And Tim, last week everyone was up in arms because Woolies finally got rid of their single-use bags.
Yes, they did.
Coles is following the trend in a couple of weeks.
Great.
Actually, I think it's this Saturday, the 30th.
This Saturday, the 30th.
Yes. So they will be getting rid of all their single-use bags as well.
I think it's fantastic. I understand that people don't like change. But if you're listening right now and you are frustrated with the bag changing at Woolworths mm-hmm. and Coles, it is good for our planet. Our planet needs this.
Well, a lot of people have been arguing, why get rid of single-use bags when you've already got so much other plastic packaging around your stores?
Yes, right.
So Woolworths, and how you feel about this one, Timmy?
Mm-hmm.
Woolworths is considering letting their customers bring in Tupperware containers for meat and fish products.
Instead of getting plastic bags wrapped in paper.
Yes.
Fantastic. I reckon that is a great idea.
So, I mean, there's still a little bit to go through because at the moment they don't offer that because of, like, food safety and operational reasons.
Because then, say if I order some chicken breasts and I say, here's my Tupperware container, mine's dirty, I get it, I get sick, and I go, hey, supermarket, you made me sick.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, well, you took that.
But I like to think of it as like a keep cup, you know, like when you go and get your coffee, you have it in your reusable cup. I think at the deli, they should offer an option of like a reusable Tupperware container and you go home, you wash it, you bring back your Tupperware container.
I don't want to be throwing around $1 million ideas right now.
Yeah.
But the meat keep.
Oh, Tim.
The meat keep.
We need to get the Woolworths CEO on the phone.
Excuse me, did you bring your own meat keep? Yes, I did. Here's my meat keep.
I mean, would anyone be on board with this?
I'd do it.
I reckon it would be another thing that you'd forget,
though. It just take time. What I have in my car is I have a designated area for these shopping bags, these multiple-use shopping bags and stuff like this. I just have a section behind my driver's seat and that's where they all go.
There was a lady who posted on Gladstone Open Discussion mm-hmm. and she had a big plastic, like a washing basket.
Sure.
And she said she uses that instead of bags. Incredible. It's a great idea.
That's a good hack. That's a bit much.
Hit.com.au if you want to find out everything else that's trending right now.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
You have Netflix. They do these big dumps of new shows every... Mm. Is it every month they do a dump?
Yes.
And a new
There's some good ones coming out.
Well, I think there was one in the last 48 hours because a new show, Cooking High, got dropped on Netflix, a season of that. And essentially, it is a show where they try and use marijuana and they have 30 minutes to cook a meal and they have to infuse marijuana somehow.
Right.
And I just think it's the stupidest show ever. Like, I know
as opposed to every other cooking show?
Oh, not like cooking. Like, I know there's shows that are like cartoons or silly shows and that, but like, I don't see the purpose of putting a show like this out there. This is the tagline that they put at the end of every episode. Mm. All of the cannabis cuisines featured in this program was intended for medicinal purposes only,
right,
and was prescribed, prepared, and consumed in accordance with local laws. However, all the individuals who consume the medicated cuisine suddenly got the urge to chill and watch TV. And look, I get it. Everyone's got a different opinion mm-hmm. on marijuana, if it should be legal for medicinal. I know
well,
that
I mean,
over
there's
in the...
a lot of laws turning at the moment.
Yes.
But are you saying that this is unnecessary?
This is unnecessary. It's putting this type of marijuana use in a very bad light.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
really promoting it as, hey, if you're scrambling your eggs, chuck this in. Or
it's,
if you're making
a
steak,
season
it with
it.
It's
isn't
dangerous.
It?
Because people are watching this. And look, none of it, I don't think we're ignorant enough to say that people aren't getting their hands on marijuana all around the world.
Mm.
So it's not like, oh, yes, this is just for the medicinal marijuana users. This
well, I mean,
is just
that's
for
legal reasons
exactly.
they're putting that in.
So legal reasons they're putting that in. But I just think this is such a dumb idea to put a show like this because the majority of people that use marijuana, I think I can safely say, do not use it for medical purposes.
Is the show any good, though? Like,
I haven't watched it. And I don't see a point in watching it. Like, yeah. Okay, fair enough. I'll watch it to be like, all right, if this is something that I probably don't agree with, let me at least have a viewing of it better get the scope. But I just think it's so stupid and it's so irresponsible to people.
I feel like it can't be worse than that, like, new show Nailed
especially,
It.
Especially...
That was pretty garbage
was
viewing.
Was that the cooking one that looked like a parody of a cooking show?
Yes.
But was actually serious?
Yeah.
Maybe we should just start making cooking shows.
No way.
People know how to cook.
I've been just absolutely loving Fakers or Bakers. Have you seen that on the Food Network?
No, I haven't torn my ACL. I've been spending every hour on my couch watching television.
Fair, 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 fair.
You are deep down the rabbit hole, my friend.
Fakers or Bakers, it's a good show.
Clearly, be responsible with what you're consuming. I cannot stress this enough. Don't watch this show.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
And this woman over in China has lived my worst nightmare, I think.
All right.
She had a big night out on the cordials and
cool.
went to the bathroom and the place she was staying at had a drop toilet.
Hole in the ground.
Yes.
Commonly known as.
So in China, like a lot of places there will have like
big in the culture.
It's it's more than just a hole in the ground. It's essentially like a toilet but on the ground.
Yeah. There's no like porcelain bowl.
No, there is a porcelain bowl still, but it's in the ground.
And so that's what I'm saying. So it's not like it's not above.
No,
it's like the plumbing's all internal.
You're squatting.
Yeah.
And
that's apparently it's better for your digestive system.
I mean,
and all
they're
that.
Very healthy.
Of course.
But she went to stand over the toilet and instead got her leg stuck in the toilet bowl.
So she stumbled in.
Yes.
Got a foot stuck and thought, uh-oh.
Her family have tried to pull her out, but it was still stuck firmly around her ankle. So she couldn't.
Really gone deep.
She got real deep in there, which is horrifying. Hopefully it was before there was things in the bowl.
You'd hope. But if it was like a normal toilet, like you're saying, then hopefully she's fallen in before she's gone to the bathroom.
So firefighters were sent.
Take her leg. Get the hacksaw, boys.
They had to break the porcelain toilet bowl to get her out because it was so wrapped around her ankle they couldn't free her.
Lovely.
Eventually, after 30 minutes, they were able to free her.
That's not that long. I was assuming this was going to be like a seven-day...
2 minutes is too long to have your foot stuck in a toilet.
Oh, yeah, but if you think about it, like, from an outside view, like, being trapped for 30 minutes is probably, like, the best amount of time to be trapped. I've heard of stories of, like, 127 hours.
Oh, okay.
Dude cuts his arm off.
All right.
Dude cuts his arm off, Jess. He was trapped for 127
to be fair,
hours.
If I stepped in a toilet, I'd just cut my ankle off. Done. Be done with it.
This is you dealing with situations super, super professionally and
have you
responsibly.
Ever been stuck in something?
Oh, mate, I have been stuck so many times. I got stuck in, there was a shed, like a warehouse. And you know, like how McDonald's playgrounds have like the tubes and the slides and all that? So that was like a storage shed for that. And I like went down a slide.
Why were you in a storage shed for that?
Oh, you know, had a lot going on as an 8-year-old. And I went down one of the slides that was in this like stack of all these like play equipment.
Oh, no.
And the slide just went to an area where there was no escape.
You had to climb back up the slide.
No, I couldn't because it was so steep. They had to get forklifts and come and rescue me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. I was my cousin's favourite person that day.
And
my
you uncle say I cause a scene.
Oh, 8-year-old me was a bit of a mischief. I'll admit that. And also, I saw my cousin, same cousin, he fell into a porta potty, like a wooden outhouse, and got stuck leg in the poop.
Oh, see, this is what I'm not okay with.
Tori's hamstring. It was the saddest and funniest moment of my life. But 13, 12, 16, where'd you get stuck?
Yes.
Where'd you get stuck?
How long was it for? Where was it?
I feel like if it was 30 minutes, you didn't get stuck.
You would just... you did.
No.
Especially if it's in a portaloo.
I'm surprised that the emergency services got there in that amount of time. If I called them, they would rock up tomorrow. So, because it can happen when you least expect it, and that's the worst thing. So 13, 12, 16... where'd you get stuck?
Tim, on 13, 12, 16, we have been asking, where'd you get stuck?
Yeah, lady visiting China. They have drop toilets there where essentially the toilet is all underneath the ground. Same toilet that you and I wake up with every single morning, mm-hmm. but it's just all underground, so you got to squat down. She slipped somehow, got her foot trapped inside the toilet. It's gone down a couple of rungs.
Yeah.
Emergency services had to dig into the ground, break the porcelain.
Even when they got the porcelain out, yeah. She was freed. She still had that ring of porcelain around her ankle.
Oh, no.
Because it was trapped so good.
It's a memento. Hopefully that was the only thing trapped on her ankle. Have you ever been trapped or anything?
I never get myself into any sticky situations.
You've mostly been emotionally trapped.
Yeah.
More than physically
and
trapped.
Scarred
internally. But on 13, 12, 16, we have been asking, where did you get stuck? And we've had Michael from Rockhampton call through. Michael, mate, where did you get stuck?
When I was a kid, I got stuck, like I'm talking like 6 years old, I got stuck under the high jump mat at school.
Oh, no!
That, no joke, Michael, was my biggest fear as
a
child.
They are so heavy!
It happened to me.
How long were you stuck under the high jump mat for?
Look, I was pretty young, so I may have inflated this, but in my mind, it was a good hour.
Yeah,
wow.
No, 17
hours. Someone noticed I wasn't there.
I remember my legs being trapped by a high jump mat once, and I was like, well, I just got to settle in for the long haul.
Hang on a second, Michael. Important. Was your head sticking out at least, or were you completely covered by the mat?
No, I was a small kid, so I was completely covered.
How did it happen? Were you in like the sports shed and it fell?
Yeah, so I was sent out to the sports shed to grab like the T-ball tee and it was holding up the high jump mat apparently.
I was going to say, hopefully they're not sending a six-year-old to get the high jump mat. Come on, little Michael, if you could go and get that 100-kilo high jump mat. Oh, my word. And so who found you, like a teacher or...?
Yeah, teacher eventually found me when they realised that I can come back with the T-ball tee. They're like, oh, we were going to do sport this arvo, weren't we?
That Mikey, that little rascal.
Meanwhile, the school no longer exists because Michael has obviously sued them.
Sued them for all their high jump mats, and that's how he built his house. All right, Michael, but we're glad you're out, mate, so thank you very much for your call, mate.
Thanks, guys.
No worries. Maybe he was calling us from underneath the high jump mat.
He never escaped. Years later.
He's still stuck in the high jump mat zone.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
Joined now by our Hollywood Entertainment reporter, Dean McCarthy. He's back and he's got big news about Adele.
Oh my goodness. It's Christmas and it's come early. Santa is literally packing the sleigh and feeding the reindeer and I'm living. It's all happening in December. Adele, new album dropping. Now, here's the question. Will it be called 29, 30? I think that's what she'll be when the album comes out.
Yes.
Will it be an age 30? Will it be 30 like all of her albums have been? There was 19, 21, 25. Or is this a Christmas album?
Oh.
She's not washed up enough to be releasing
a Christmas album
if
yet.
If you aren't familiar with who we're talking about, of course, this is Adele.
Hello from the other side.
Yeah.
She's holding a Nokia 3310 in the video. You know, it's classic.
Whatever it is, I know it's going to make me cry a lot because one of her albums
I'm
just...
already crying.
That's her job.
Just at the thought, I'm going to sit in the bedroom and have a glass of red by myself and listen to it on repeat. She takes me deep.
The thing is that's worrying is that she's been in a healthy relationship since her last album. What's she going to sing about?
It's going to be too positive.
It's going to be too positive from Adele. There's no rolling in the deep. It's rolling in love in the bedsheets. So, but Dean, we're looking forward to that new album. Hopefully it's not a Christmas album and it's just a regular album from Adele. So thank you very much, mate.
Oh, always good to chat. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Dino.
This is the Tim and Jess catch-up on Hit. You are about to enter the courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important, but the rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
That's right, court is in session. If you all please sit. Jess, you be the judge is the opportunity for someone on in central Queensland to really have power, really have their say, and a final ruling on it, something that we definitely can't agree
on. It is the only courtroom where the jury doesn't matter.
No.
We don't matter.
No.
The only person who matters is the judge.
Could be you. You could be listening right now. It could change your life forever. So we are asking for a judge on 13, 12, 16. But this week, strong case has to do with weddings. And Jess, there is a part of weddings, like we're at that age now, I think a lot of people are, where all your mates, all your cousins, they're getting
married.
It's
wedding season.
I had four cousins get engaged in the space of 3 months.
Well, it's putting a bit of pressure on, isn't it?
A lot of pressure. But it's still good. It's still good because weddings are a fantastic place. Mm-hmm. But I truly believe, because my sister's doing that, she's getting married at the moment. She is planning and inviting people to the wedding, obviously.
Yes.
And I said, oh, so what are you doing with, like, people's kids? And she is absolutely stone cold stuck and doesn't know what to do.
This is the thing, because my best mate's getting married in September and she's just sending the invites out now. And all the invitations have gone out and a couple of her cousins have said, hey, you says no kids, but I've got a 7-month-old. Can I bring the baby? And I'm like, kids and babies, do they need to be invited to weddings?
I think no children.
Just blanket rule, if you're under 12 years old.
Obviously, I understand.
What's the cutoff?
I understand, and the jury's been saying that, look, it's each to their own. It depends on the bride and groom situation. But if you're looking at it as a blanket rule, I just think that it's such a special day. And yes, look, some kids in people's life are so, so important. You wouldn't want it to miss it for the world. Now, I 100% understand that. But for guests bringing their kids that, maybe it doesn't really super important to the bride and groom.
But see, that's the thing. Where do you cut it off? Like if you've said no kids, blanket rule, and then all of a sudden your little cousin Shirley shows up and she's just 3 years old, just running around causing a muck.
Shirley, I told you weren't invited. What are you doing here? No, I genuinely think, and look, this might come across as harsh, but kids just anything under 18? No.
Under 18?
Under 18.
Are you joking?
It's an adult event, mate. It's a wedding.
Nah, see, I completely disagree, but I think that maybe because I have a lot of cousins, like a lot of little cousins.
Mate.
So my wedding day wouldn't be the same without all my little cousins.
How many cousins do I have?
I mean, yeah.
I have 80 cousins. I do not have a small family.
But I like my family.
I like my family. I just don't want them to be at my important events. Jeez, get off my case.
Look, a lot of the jury are backing you, Tim, saying that no kids should not be at weddings. Barbara said it's the choice of the couple. We had kids at ours.
Someone said just elope.
Yeah.
I love it. I agree. Just elope. But 13, 12, 16, should kids be banned from weddings?
Yes.
You're the judge. It doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what Jess thinks. Love the jury getting in touch with us, but also doesn't matter what they think. So 13, 12, 16, should your kids be banned from the wedding? That's right. You be the judge. The only time that I will listen to anyone else's opinion but my own.
You
because
have got such a stern look on your face right now.
This is the courtroom and I will not be taken lightly.
I'm so
and
sorry.
I'm here to win my case.
So
and that
scared.
Is the whole point of you be the judge. It doesn't matter how aggressive I am or how kind and loving you are. It doesn't matter what the jury says as much as we appreciate their involvement. It all comes down to our judge. First person to call through. That's the rule.
That's
could have
right.
the worst opinion in the world.
And on 13, 12, 16 at the moment, the courtroom is arguing kids and babies, should they be invited to a wedding? Yes or no?
I think not.
I think
it's an adult event.
I think it's important to give people the option. If they don't want to bring their child with them, then that's fine. Let them have their night.
Mate,
but if they want to bring them, then you should have the option there.
If we went on the theory of, oh, it's each to their own, we would have nothing to talk about ever on this radio show. That is the whole point. We're here to incite thought, incite conversation, and that is exactly what we're doing with our judge this morning here at the radio station. Because, Jess, I firmly believe if it's a blanket rule, No kids at weddings. It's an adult event. This does not mean like adult party. It's an adult event. It's a wedding. Just have a night off, hey?
I think that kids should be allowed if the parent wants to bring
them. Welcoming. It's disgusting.
Okay, all right.
We've had Linda call through on 13, 12, 16. And Linda, as you were the first person to call through, you are the judge this morning. Now, given all the information from myself and from Jess and from the jury, doesn't matter what any of us think, though, take that in mind. Where are you leading with your decision on banning kids from going to a wedding?
I think parents and adults need a night out and kids should not be invited.
Oh.
But in saying that, if they're under 2 years old, they come along.
I agree.
You can't change your mind. You said blanket rule, no kids. But Linda's saying under two, they can come. That means I win.
Yeah, but under two's a baby. They're not really a kid.
And this is what the question is, Linda. Should kids and babies be invited to weddings?
No, it was just kids. No. Babies are different.
It says kids and babies, Tim. The jury have been voting on kids and babies.
All right. Well, mate, you wrote it, so you're in charge here. But, Linda, because I do agree in that sense, but if we're looking at it as a broader view, do you think, because obviously parents need a night off, I think they'd probably be more switched on taking care of a baby than, say, a 7- or 8-year-old.
Yep. True.
So...
Are you trying to sway our judge?
I'm confused. I'm trying to find out what Linda is leading.
Final answer, yes. Should kids and babies be invited to weddings, yes or no?
No.
Damn it, I really thought I had that one.
Oh, yeah. Linda, thank you very much. You're not, Linda, and neither am I.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
The biggest trending stories across Australia and central Queensland. And Tim, we knew that Facebook was going to take a bit of a hit after their whole data hacking scandal finally came out.
Yes.
Where basically Facebook was selling your data to different corporations.
And you'd given permission without realising half of the time.
Because who reads the T's and C's?
I do.
No one.
I do not. When I signed up for Facebook when I was like 16, no.
Yeah.
But maybe, yes, now I do.
Well, studies have shown that since then, 1.8 million Aussies have deleted Facebook.
It's a fair bit.
1.8 million. And most of the people who still have Facebook do not trust what is happening on the platform.
I've been very close to deleting Facebook. And I feel like a lot of people will obviously have and are thinking about it. But it's so important to so many people's work and finding out events around town. It's almost tricky to delete
the thing.
It
brings you so close to everything, and that's the hard part. Like, I don't think I could be without it now.
Oh, you have FOMO. You got hard FOMO.
Absolutely. Unless every single person got off Facebook, I would still be on there. I'll be the last one
MySpace. Bring it back. Bring it back.
87 million Facebook users, including over 300,000 Australians, had their data hacked. So it's not surprising that we've lost these sorts of numbers.
Fair enough. But I guess you can check out your sort of feed on Instagram and making sure you're comfortable. If you delete it, delete it. Go nuts. I don't want to be your friend anyway.
You can check out everything else that's trending right now at hit.com.au.
This is the Tim and Jess Catch-Up on Hit.
Ross Noble's comedy stand-up show is coming to Gladstone July 25th at the GECC. We're very lucky to be joined with him on the phone right now. Thank you very much for joining us, Ross Noble.
It's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Now, we're very excited that you're coming to town in July. Your show, well, firstly, I would like you to pronounce the name of your show and what it actually means.
We're worried we're going to be offensive.
Yeah, no, I can't. Well, it'd probably be offensive for me because you know, I'm not a Spanish speaker either. It's called El Hablador. I mean, some people, it's funny because, like, it's a bit like, you know, when somebody orders a croissant and they decide to go for the croissant.
Yeah.
Tim gets angry when
I pronounce prosciutto. Says it's just prosciutto.
It's prosciutto.
Yeah. A penne au chocolat. It's been quite funny. Like, that's kind of one of the reasons why I called it El Hablador, because just to see how many journalists and radio presenters would go for the full. But what you've done there is you've copped out, like, you sort of got out of both being pretentious and making a fool of yourself.
I'm avoiding the scandal as much as I can.
Do you remember when George Travolta couldn't pronounce Idina Menzel?
That was iconic.
Eldina Nazim.
He should have gone, and now, ladies and gentlemen, singing the song from Frozen, he has You say hello. You say it.
No, he's
not. You just hear from behind the big statue. It's the Dino Man show. Right, sing it.
So your new show, Al Hubbababala.
Yes, Al Habibi.
you've been touring. I mean, your last 16 tours around Australia have completely sold out. Have you ever had some audience members that, like, I mean, have given you a bit of heckling, or like, what have been the worst experiences?
Well, funnily enough, the reason these gigs that I've got coming up, right? So I started the tour in. I started the tour in February, March, and then I did all around Australia. But then, like, I missed out the sort of top bit there, and I missed out Tasmania just for time, you know. And literally, I got so many on Twitter. I got so many sort of like let's call them e-heckles. I got so many people just going, "Why have you missed us out? This is ridiculous." Tasmania got really angry. So these gigs that I'm doing coming up in July are they're the walk of shame. It's the tour of shame.
I'm really sorry for missing out on you. Let me entertain you now.
Because I said to my kids, I went, "Hey, you know, you can. Why don't we spend some quality time together?" And I went, "You know what? I'm going to get lynched if I don't."
better to play it safe. Now, Ross, if you don't mind, we'll go to a song now. But on the other side, we have a game that we'd like to play with you. It's called the Noble Games. Named after yourself, and because, as you said, the game's all about... your show's mostly about saying sorry to people that you've missed, so we'd like to play the Noble Games up next, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. I don't know what it is, but let's do it.
All right, you should be worried, mate. Joined on the phone by Ross Noble, coming to Central Queensland in late July. And Ross, we were just speaking before, we'd like to play a game with you. Would you like me to tell you what that game is?
Yes, why not? All right. What could possibly go wrong?
It's called the Noble Games. The Noble Games.
I mean, as you can tell, super noble.
As quite a sophisticated man, Ross, you've said that you had to apologise to a lot of people about your tour because you may have missed some places when going around Australia the last time around.
Yeah, and that is why I will be coming to all of those places soon.
That's good. Soon is a good time frame. And essentially, we want to focus on that word sorry. So we want to present to you, because you're obviously the master of knowing when to say sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to put forward three scenarios where you can tell us if we should say sorry or not. That's why they're the Noble Games, because you're noble if you say sorry.
Right. I see what you've done. You've taken a standard moral maze thing and crowbarred it around my name. I like what you've done.
Never.
I like what you've done. You could not have made this any more crowbar if you'd have wanted me to be specific. Why didn't you get a cow and a bull and then yes cow, no bull?
Feedback is appreciated after the game, Mr. Noble. So if we could focus on the Noble Games.
Let's head full on into this ridiculous conceit.
Sounds like a plan. I like that you're on board. Now, Ross, the first situation, if you need to apologise for, if you're running late to something, when do you have to say sorry? So if you're 10 minutes late, do you say sorry? Like, what's the time frame when you need to say sorry to that person you're running late with?
I apologise, even if I'm on time.
That's nobility, Tim. That's what it is.
Even if you're early.
So if the other person gets there, like, 10 minutes early and you get there 5 minutes early, you turn up and you go, "Oh, sorry, I'm late." And then they have to. And then, so what you're basically saying is, you think you're smart for being 10 minutes early. Yeah. And I thought I was going to be the one that was 5 minutes early. So, "Oh, sorry, I'm late," implying, like, don't go thinking you're special because you're early.
All right, Ross, the second situation. If there is a mess in the office kitchen, and no one knows that it's you, but someone's gone, "Hey guys, why is the kitchen in the office so dirty?" Do you say sorry, or do you just move on with your life?
Let someone else take the blame.
It's not a big thing, is it? If you just go, "Oh, sorry," and then just, like, tidy it up. If there was, like, say, some human excrement.
Oh, yes, of course. That would require an apology.
I don't know what happens in your office kitchen.
You don't know what sort of office I'm going to. If you say you're out walking your dog, right, your dog's messed on the floor, you've picked it up with a bag, you've tied it off, right?
Yep.
You've forgotten to put it in the bin, you've come into the office, you've put the dog mess down on the counter, mm-hmm. you've made a cup of tea, you've wandered off, you've forgotten, and then somebody comes in and goes, bag of dog mess in there. then I might go, oh, I'm not going to hold up to that, because... You know, bag of dog mess.
See, Ross, the thing I'm worried now because this game I came up with during that song, you thought somehow you've prepared for this question, and yeah. I don't know if I'm all right with this. You've gone too in depth, but look, mate, we're looking forward to when you come to the GECC in July.
Is that the game?
Yeah, that's the game. Congratulations, you succeeded.
You took control of my game.
I think he won. Yeah. Right. I don't know how he won, but he did.
Right, let's plug the show.
Yes.
You can
see Ross Noble in Gladstone on July 25th at the Gladstone Entertainment Convention Centre. For tickets, you can head to gladecc.com.au. Yeah. Thanks so much, Ross.
Thank you for having me. Whatever happens, just don't find yourself backstage because you really don't want to be in the kitchen.
I was going to say, you don't know what Ross has been up to. Tim and Jess. Catch up weekday mornings from 5 on HIT.